Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is awesome to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host, Katrero. What's going on, Katrero?
Not too much. What's going on?
Well, apparently, either our other co-host is late or no showing. Have you heard from Craig today?
No, I haven't heard. Well, there he is right there.
Yeah, there he is. Fashionably late, as always.
He took my spot.
Yeah, let's get Mick Infringement, Craig. What's going on?
Greetings and salutations, Edward and Katrere. How are you both?
Just totally throwing off because you were late and you ruined the whole show with your own professionalism, and but we're going to try and man through and work this out here.
You're not dealing with another 3-hour erection from snorting cocaine, are you?
No. Okay. I haven't had either of those in a very long time.
I just read that on the board in an old post, so I had to bring it up that you made.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Good times.
There was some post about whoever snorted cocaine. I know that Ed made an appearance, so I'm the only one that's not snorting cocaine on the show.
I only did it twice, and it was for a girl both times, so it's okay.
Well, I've
so you got to use that 3-hour boner.
I've done it a shitload more times than that, and some of them were just because I was just out of my mind and wanted more cocaine.
I've never even been around cocaine before.
It's a powerful drug.
It's weird.
It's a powerful drug.
I saw it a lot in the locker room when I started. It was really weird watching people you look up to work-wise. it's really unsettling. But, yeah,
I used to love the fact that when Buddy used to do the shows with Brian, he would talk about Al Madrill, who was wrestled in Texas a lot, would have these parties, and he'd have this table right in the middle of the room, and they'd have a big-ass amount of cocaine, and anybody could go up and just start doing lines of cocaine from this thing. It's like, sounded like an insane time back in the 80s in pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I
noticed that we had got a caller for like a few seconds, and I guess he heard us talking about cocaine, and we must have scared him off because he hung up.
Hmm. Well, that's understandable.
Hmm? Just say no.
Right. Just say no.
Well, Mr. T.
I was never good at that. I always said yes.
Saying no. You know who else has been saying yes a lot? You know, our mutual friend Peach Machine was in town, and and made a stop to a recreational shop here in Washington. I've never seen that much recreational paraphernalia in one bag in my life. I bet you he dropped $200-$300.
He's a lightweight. You should just wait till when I make my return to Seattle, and then you're going to see some.
My mouth was agape with all the brownies, and there was little cinnamon treats, and just everything you can think of in this little bag. There's a line in a Gorilla song. It says, "I got sunshine in a bag." I think it was talking about Peach's bag.
He's still a lightweight. But anyway, last week, the WWE tried to attempt to create something like a WrestleMania weekend. And I think they did a good job of it. I don't think they had, like, fan access. But as far as, like, everything else, it seemed like something they should actually do for SummerSlam every year and also the Royal Rumble, in my opinion. I don't know if they should do it a fourth one. That might be too much, but if they did it for, like, those three, because, like, I don't know if you noticed on boxing and UFC, whereas pay-per-view has gone down, the big shows have gone up. So if you make these, like, more of a big show, I think, you know, as far as getting people to want to go from overseas or further away, like WrestleMania, that you could actually make them people want to do it for, like, three times a year. And I think, well, what did you think of the whole feel to the weekend?
Go ahead, Trey.
I thought it was a great weekend. I mean, you had three really good shows. I thought all three shows were very good. So, you know, I got no complaints.
First, to address your point about the access, I want to say that they actually did have an access this year. I think that they've been doing like a scaled down version of access for the SummerSlam weekend for the last couple of years, if I'm not mistaken. But,
Yeah, totally.
The show on Saturday evening was insanely fun to watch. That was easily the best show of the weekend. And then all the, hijinks and insanity surrounding Super China Buffet here. And then watching the show with wrestling fans. You know, it's cool that you can watch the network anywhere at any time on your phone or on your iPad or on your computer or even in your own home in front of the television. But you know what? I really miss getting together with a bunch of dudes that love wrestling, sitting down and watching and hearing people pop in the living room. And it's good male bonding that that we seem to lose out on since we've gotten the network. But SummerSlam was a good show. I don't think it was WrestleMania caliber, but it was very good. Enjoyed. I think there's only really a couple of matches that I disliked. But anyway, that was a good show, and Raw was a ton of fun. And the crowd was insane. I love New York. I so want to go see a concert or a wrestling show in New York one of these days. It was good times.
Yeah, regarding that crowd, it's like it's a New York crowd, but also with a lot. Well, maybe not a lot, but there's an influence of European and people who come from other places who are big time fans who also know that the tradition after WrestleMania is we're hijacking the show, and that was in full effect. Well, actually, I don't think it was as bad as the past WrestleMania shows, but
yeah,
it was like right behind them as far as like a Raw.
Mm-hmm.
They went into business for themselves, and they picked the perfect. It was actually the perfect timing to where they were going to be noticed and talked about the most after the fact.
Yes,
and we will get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to Raw. But let's run down the NXT show. And does anybody have a list of the matches, or do you guys can remember exactly what happened?
I was pulling up everything as you were speaking. So let's go with NXT. This was in front of a sold-out crowd at the Barclays Center. It was said early in the show that they released an extra 200 seats, standing room only, and they sold out in 30 seconds. So at this point, the 200 tickets that went on sale did.
How do you sell out in 30 seconds? What am I asking?
You put them online, and then a ticket broker buys half of them, and then the next person buys half
okay.
of them.
That's true. Yeah. So they release 200 tickets a day of the show. They do this for concerts all the time, and sold out very quickly, and I'm sure that the scalpers got maximum dollar for those tickets. So that they boasted about that.
Said there were 15,589 in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Opened up with Triple H in the middle of the ring. A very cool opening of the show. It was almost like he was having a one-on-one conversation in front of a 15,000-seat arena. And,
that only we could hear.
Yeah, big spotlight on him. He was saying, he said, introduced TakeOver and said, the future is now.
Yeah, that was
cool.
That
was actually kind of, to me, I thought it was kind of weird at first, the way it was kind of going, but then I saw what they were kind of going for. If you listened to the show last week, you knew that I was very excited for this show, and I was hyped, and all the way until right before the show, and then I decided that I wasn't going to get my hopes up for the show, and I was going to be very calm, very calm while I watched the show. So I'll let you continue with the first match.
Thank you, sir. First match on the network. They had other matches, and we might get to talk about those later. We might not. Jushin Liger, he pinned Tyler Breeze. Not a spectacular match by any means. Jushin is a, how do I say this with being politically correct?
50-year-old man, this word looks like he's 20 years old in his outfit.
I was going to say he's a seasoned veteran. But good back-and-forth action. One of the highlights for me is when Jushin actually grabbed the selfie stick and was posing with it, totally out of character for a 60-year-old man. But good match.
What I liked about the match is a lot of people were upset that they didn't open with Enzo and Cass, which they actually did, but that was taped before. But
yes.
As far as, like, anything other than Enzo and Cass, this was, in my opinion, the perfect opener because the entrance for Tyler Breeze gave the show a big-time feel.
Yep.
Because, you know, they had the models dressed up like Statue of Liberty and everything, and it just gave you that effect. Like, you know, they're putting some money into this. They're not rinky, and it's not rinky-dink. It made it feel like right off the bat like you're watching a pay-per-view. And awesome intro with Tyler Breeze and the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then Liger's entrance is pretty cool. He was over as hell. He looks exactly the same as the guy who wrestled Brian Pillman way back in the day. He didn't do all the things he did back in the day, but he still had – he did, like, a lot of his – the couple kick and his palm thrust and just – he did a lot of his moves. And like you said, him, like, playing around – to the crowd when he sold the selfie stick or when he laid down on the ropes and acted like he was bored like Tyler Breeze did right at the very start. It was a good match. I mean, they weren't trying to steal the show, but they were trying to have a good match, and I thought they did. And,
he's trying to have a big moment, I think, you know, with he's a Japanese legend, let's face it. I mean, it was a pretty big deal, so I think that's about all it was.
Breeze got a near fall with the supermodel kick and then into a rolling backstabber. Liger had gone for his Liger bomb on two different occasions, but finally got it on the third try and got the 1-2-3 after that. I love how they brought in Liger, and NXT feels like a really, really cool indie organization. And when they bring in guys like Joe and Liger and even Rhino,
it feels like you're going to an intimate, independent show that that anybody can get into. But it's an indie show with a great big time feel and tons of money behind it. And NXT is just on fire right now.
Goes all over was because the fans, you know, they were all into the NXT.
Oh yeah.
Whatever they're doing is working.
Absolutely.
Shows how many people were watching the network, since that's really the only place you can see it, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
And as far as them, like, watching the product and knowing the product, that becomes even more evident when the next match starts.
They had, they showed a clip in the crowd. You had Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and X-Pac. Most notable thing, X-Pac wearing a Young Bucks t-shirt with the click hand on the front. And by the way, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but there was actually another Young Bucks reference on Monday Night Raw when I don't think he even knew what he was saying, but during the Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns against the Wyatt clan, Dean was threw a couple super kicks, and then right behind him, Luke Harper hit one, and JBL, God is my witness, said, "It's a super kick party here."
I think they've actually said that before, like during one of the Usos matches. But
I don't think he even knew what he was saying, but it did get out there. So props to the Young Bucks.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I was going to say something else about the match. Oh, Scott Hall, the NWO. I thought that was so random. I was like,
yeah,
what the fuck? But it made sense later on in the show.
Sure.
They were actually pushed out
of their own camera. They got up and left, so.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they did kind of have a throwback to the old curtain call. But
yeah,
we'll discuss that in a minute. Next up, we had the Vaudevillains wrestling the team of Blake and Murphy.
And Voltage.
Crap, what's her name? It just fell out of my head.
Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss.
Thank you. Alexa Bliss. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, like.
Right from the start, the crowd was chanting Blue Pants and other chants of Blue Pants City. Of course, I was alerted early in the day that she was in town. I'm sure Ed knew it as well. And there was some hijinks.
I was hoping she was, but honestly, I wasn't sure because she was actually trying to play it off because she was having a conversation on social media where it made it sound like they were a couple of, like, some friends of hers who were visiting Orlando and were planning to meet her at some NBA thing, like, thing that they have over there in Orlando by Universal. And she was saying, yes, I'll be there at so-and-so. So she's trying to play it off to the last minute. It kind of got out because a friend of hers tweeted the night before that he was in New York and that he was with her, but then he deleted that tweet by the time we finished our show last week, he had deleted it. So wasn't totally sure, and I was trying not to get my hopes up because I was ready to lose my mind. And luckily that Friday I had received my brand new WWE NXT Blue Pants t-shirt. I don't know if you saw it. It's awesome. Greatest t-shirt
ever.
It's
the worst. It is the worst.
That's what makes it so awesome, though. So I'm just waiting. And then I'm like, I'm telling myself it's not happening. It's not happening. And then the Vaudevillains came out in blue, and then I was like, maybe? No, it's not happening. And then they came out, Alexa Bliss started cutting a heel promo, and then... And I lost my goddamn fucking mind. And it was awesome. And that was super cool that they did that for her because, like I say, she's not signed. But goddamn, how much more can you do for someone who's not signed? I mean, she's been on the TV. She's now on the special. And she has merch, which a lot of the girls in WWE don't even have some merch. And apparently it's selling okay. I don't think it's touching Bayley or Finn, but I think her shirts are doing pretty good. But, yeah, I lost my goddamn mind when that happened. And I was getting – my social media blew up before the show even started because everyone was telling me that they were chanting Blue Pants during the Eva Marie match and stuff. And yeah. Instead of sending me videos of that. So, yeah, I knew it was going to be over. When she came out, the place went absolutely crazy. And for me, it made this whole match exciting. I was on the edge of my seat. It was a good match, but, I mean, I was so much more into it than normal. And, yeah, it was fucking awesome.
I think I tweeted
the,
to you.
I love the entrance.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Really tremendous.
But then when they get in the ring, I just, like, don't care. I guess because it looks so goofy.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's just me.
The one guy is pretty good, Gotch. He's got some interesting moves. He's different. He's kind of like a William Regal almost with some of the things he does.
He's a throwback.
Yeah.
Which goes without saying, really, but you know what I mean.
Which it's only going to, you know, go very so far. It's just like going to be a comedy gimmick. So it's kind of hard to get in. With comedy stuff, sometimes hard for me to get into. So,
yeah.
More
they're gonna
stuff.
What they'll be is they'll be like the replacement for like the Matadors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I don't know if
the
WWE crowd
would
understand it. Hardly, you know.
Yeah.
So we had English getting a near fall after a senton bomb. The girls got into a fight. Alexa went to slap Aiden and Simon, but Blue Pants knocked her off the ring apron. Murphy tried a schoolboy and almost won, but the Vaudevillians came back right after that and hit the Whirling Dervish to win the tag titles. Congratulations to them.
That was a whole great
chaos lose here.
It was a great sequence because I think everybody bought the roll-up as the finish. Because you know how, like, usually the distraction will cause the good guys to lose, and it almost looked like that was happening. And they went straight to basically their finish to get the win without any messing around. And it was awesome. Alexa Bliss, it's weird because, like, when she first started, she got the babyface look, and it looked like, how could she ever be a heel? And then she went heel, and now, like, her facials of her being a little pouty, you know, bitch, and just her looks of disgust and everything. I mean, she's awesome as a heel. I almost don't even want to see her go back to being babyface. And she's at the beginning made the comment he'd like to see her do Hindu squats for like an hour. And I'm right there with him. She's got something, man. She's a looker.
She's cute. Ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
We then had the debuting TV debut of Apollo Crews. He pinned Ty Dillinger, a perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. Crews looks really good. He hit a couple of super kicks and a really cool-looking enziguri. He got the win after about the five-minute mark with a gorilla press slam and then a standing moonsault. I'm sure Vince McMahon was at his computer monitor just salivating for this man.
His computer monitor?
He kind of looks like Bobby Lashley if Bobby Lashley could do flippy doos.
There you go.
He'll be shorter. He's very good though. I mean,
he's very good.
Yeah, he's put together. He's ripped into shreds. So he's got that for him.
Yep. Like I said, that's just what Vince likes, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got called up very soon.
Another gimmick, you know, the crowd was into, that NXT was the 10 gimmick.
Yes.
Was over pretty big, too, so.
Yep, totally. Okay. We then had, I'm really torn on this match. I know it was, like, the best Baron Corbin match that there's ever been, but Samoa Joe beat Baron Corbin via ref stoppage. I don't like Baron Corbin. He's so boring to me. He does nothing to light up my screen. He doesn't do a thing for me, so I'm very...
He's every random 6'5 guy you've ever seen. in development.
He really is.
Let me ask.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you all a question and see if you all agree with me on what one of the problems with Barry Corbin is. He doesn't know how to He doesn't know how to work his arms and hands. He looks so uncomfortable and out of place. Like the person who's nervous and like in a room with people he doesn't know, and you can tell he's kind of nervous. That's how his arms look to me. He doesn't look comfortable yet. He doesn't look like he has full control. Like he's not using his arms to use body language to show that he's a tough guy or this or that. To me, he looks scared when you look at the way his arms are for some reason.
He's very green. He's got basically, and I mean this with all the love in my heart, he's very generic looking. You can go to any MMA show in the country tonight, in any casino, and see about two dozen of him. The thing with me is he's a big man. He should work a big man style match, and he doesn't know how to be a big man wrestler, if that makes any sense.
Looks like
he doesn't know how to project.
Something.
He doesn't know how to project.
Yeah.
But as far as the match, I thought the match was actually pretty good. Samoa Joe's working hard. Corbin, he didn't mess anything up. He hung with him. I mean, like I say, it was his best match, even though you probably weren't into it because you don't like him, but it was his best match he probably ever had in his life. And I thought it was good.
Yeah.
And I love the ending, the way Samoa Joe just kind of like took him around, got the thing. Corbin doesn't tap out. He basically goes out. And I thought that was that keeps him strong. He didn't tap out. He was tough until the end until he got choked out. And I thought it was good. I thought it was, it wasn't a show stealer or anything, but I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
The finishing sequence, Joe actually went for the muscle buster, which I don't think anybody believed was going to happen on this huge man. Baron hit what looked like a jackhammer almost and got a 2.5 count. Finish was both men reversing out of each other's finishers, and Joe popped him up in the air basically and caught him in the Konica clutch, and then Corbin passed out.
They also, during the show, announced the Dusty Rhodes Classic Tag Team Tournament, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes, I did skip that. I apologize. And as we saw on NXT just the other night, that Neville is going to be a part of that. So it's cool.
Yeah, there's some mixed match teams in there. There was also a commercial for NXT 24/7, which I also popped and thought was cool because it ends with like a slow motion of Blue Pants celebrating at the end of the commercial. Jeez. That was awesome.
You're such a mark. Oh, they had shots of Ric Flair, Sergeant Slaughter, Naomi, Tamina, and Kana. K-A-N-N-A, which is incorrect.
Yeah, they threw in an extra N, but I'm sure like 90% of the people were like, who the hell is that? But when I saw her,
I would.
Because that was a surprise. I was like, what the fuck? Kana? Oh, man, but she's awesome. She's going to be like Sami Zayn or Finn Balor, these guys who are like kind of ringers. Mm-hmm. They're not really need developmental. Well, she sure as hell don't need developmental, and she's fucking awesome. I hope these girls are ready to work stiff because she's going to kick the shit out.
You had Stephanie McMahon out next. She put over NXT and talked about the Divas Revolution and how it started on NXT, which led to Bayley and Sasha Banks. This match
I'm surprised the crowd didn't kind of react kind of negatively towards Stephanie.
As they did on Monday?
It was such a hot show that everything was like going the right way, thankfully. So she came over, put over how Hunter doesn't just say they're the main event. He puts them in the main event, and it's just basically putting themselves over, you know, that they started the whole women's movement as far as athletes. And then they showed a great video package. The video package was actually pretty awesome to hype it up and tell the story of Bayley in like the last few weeks where she was kind of like on the down, like on a losing streak with a broken hand, and then how she worked her way back, and then Sasha just being Sasha. And another, like the entrance for Bayley was awesome because they always have those, four or five inflatables that they inflate at wholesale. And they had about, a dozen, or maybe not a dozen, had a bunch of them. And these ones were freaking high. These people looked like they went like almost halfway up to the roof. And Bayley's entrance was awesome. Everyone was going crazy. Sasha had a great entrance, really made herself look like a star coming out and escalated with the bodyguards. And I say, it didn't feel like developmental. It felt like you're watching a major event from the presentation. And then they had, I'm sure a lot of people probably disagree with me, but to me, that was a perfect five-star, perfect match.
I would, I won't split hairs over 4.5 or 5, but it was very, very good. About 16 minutes long. The one thing that not a lot of people noticed, but at one point, Bayley hit a reverse Hurricanrana off the top rope, and it looked absolutely spectacular. Everything went just perfectly. But there's been a clip on the internet recently of Sasha actually not rotating all the way over and just crunching her head and neck on this spot. How she's not paralyzed today. Oof.
Well, I don't think it was that bad, but yeah, it did look like she banged her head. But you know what's so funny is during the match, right before this, the prelude to that maneuver, Bayley went for the regular Hurricanrana, and she missed that. Basically, Sasha just like blocked it, and Bayley went ass over key tettle, whatever you call it. Anyway, everyone freaked out because it looked like Bayley spiked herself, which I didn't think it did. I thought it looked like it wasn't a perfect angle, but I thought she totally took it with her face and chest and not her neck. So everyone was freaking out about that, where I thought that was like, I was like, no, that doesn't do too bad. And then she does that Frankensteiner, and that one looks perfect, but that's the one for Sasha got her head banged up. Whereas, the one that looked worse, Bayley was fine. The one that looked perfect is the one where someone kind of got banged up on it. But that Frankensteiner was spectacular. And then she goes, she hits it, and she does her little thing where she's like pulling out the braid out of her hair to fire up, and then just runs to hit the belly to belly, like no fucking around, just like she did her little tantrum thing, and then boom, right to the finish, and hit a beautiful belly to belly. She freaking looked like Magnum TA in his prime. She hit that fucker, and the place knew it and went crazy, and it was awesome. Bayley is, as far as the women, she's by far the best seller in the group. I mean,
oh yeah,
the way she can get so much freaking sympathy, and the way she sells it's crazy. Sasha was over as hell, but just the way Bayley sold, the crowd gravitated to her more and more throughout the match. And I thought Bayley was fantastic. I liked how they worked over the hand and all of that. And I thought it was a perfect storytelling match.
This really should have gone on last, looking back.
It really should have.
Yeah. Even the latter match, that other thing, in my opinion, you couldn't follow it.
Yeah.
And that was a damn good match, too.
Yeah.
They worked really hard. Sasha hit a flip dive at one point. There was a really great spot where she had, she had her in an STF, and Bayley was reaching for the ropes, and with her free leg started stomping at her hand. That was such a subtle and spectacular thing. So great. But Bayley, like Ed said, won with the belly to Bayley, and Charlotte and Becky came out, and the four hugged and cried and and did the four fingers to symbolize the four horsewomen of NXT, and I'm sure that the clique sitting there in the front row was like, man, we got fined for this.
that was weird.
It really was.
I see why they did it, but it was still weird. You know, these people, you have four women that's been, I mean, one of them's a heel, and they're going to be facing each other the next night in the same building. So, I mean, just kind of goofy.
Yeah. It's them pulling back the curtain a little bit more each time. So, but very, very good match. If you haven't seen it, please go out of your way and find this on the network. So good.
I think the WWE missed out. Honestly, and even making as far as emotional as the ending was, could you imagine if they would have flew in that little girl and put her in the front row and had her go crazy and then have her and Bailey celebrate?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't, but that's on them. So,
yeah.
So that leads us to the main event. It was Finn Balor. And he defeated Kevin Owens in a ladder match. Went way past the time for the show to actually end, but very good match. It wasn't spectacular. There was some spectacular stuff, but it wasn't crazy balls to the wall kind of a thing. But it was a very, very good match, and I'm sure Kevin was completely done by the end of this weekend.
Well, the one back bump that he took onto that one ladder, I mean, that was pretty, that I was like, god damn, I can't believe you're doing that shit. But I mean, it wasn't the craziest match, but yeah, they did some good bumps in there.
The one spot where they make the ladder bridge and they set the one end of the ladder on the ropes, it looks spectacular, but those ropes have a lot of spring to them. So in essence, the ladder actually has a little bit of spring and give to it. So it looks horrifying, but it's not as bad as. Anyway, it was very cool.
I love the one spot where he kind of had pinned, he had pushed Finn against the ring with the ladder. And then he looked like he was going to come running and charging. And then right when he gets there, he just stops.
Yep.
And awesome. He's like, fuck y'all. That was awesome. The entrance also looked top-notch in that building and everything, the lights, everything. And, it was great. It's weird how a ladder match isn't enough to follow a straight match. You know what I mean?
I know.
That's how good the women's match was.
I started watching this one, I feel like, I felt almost like I was exhausted from the match before, so, you know.
Yeah.
But very good match, yeah. The women's match has gone on last.
They might have, maybe that's where they should have put the Apollo Crews match, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of the crowd to recover, because it was.
That's usually where they put on the main roster, that's usually where they put the women's match in the Bayley-Sasha spot, you know, before the main event.
Yeah, so there was no death match on the S down on the takeover show, but it was the main event. It was great. I mean, had the women's match been just not as good, I mean, you know, we'd probably be talking about the ladder match being awesome and being the best match, but it just didn't touch it on that night, and the crowd was so into it in that match as far as cheering for both of them, and then Sasha's ratchet thing, and just the crowd was like great. It's so funny because the crowd, everyone was praising how awesome the crowd was the first night, and it was. And then 48 hours later, different opinion. But yeah, I thought the NXT show was great. I mean, it was, to me, I enjoyed it more than SummerSlam overall. And Couture, you don't really watch NXT. What did you take away from this, from seeing people you don't really know?
Some of the matches, like the tag title match, and I mean, obviously, I was into like the Liger stuff because I'm a old school fan of his, and I was looking forward to Apollo Crews because I heard a lot about him, and seeing Samoa Joe actually wrestle in front of a crowd for the first time in I don't know 10 years, So some of the others I don't get into. Some of the undercard stuff I really don't get into. Like, take away, like, the cool stuff like Liger and Samoa Joe and, you know, the main event and the women. It's kind of a drop-off, in my opinion, you know, in talent.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, the people you mentioned, like Samoa Joe and Liger, they're, you know, they could do it in their sleep as far as, you know, Baron Corbin and Tyler Breeze. They're still, you know, they're getting there. They're still learning, though. And it's not like, you know, someone's going to watch for the first time and fall in love with everything and stuff. But,
they also announced the show in England, and that's going to be live on the network, I think, in October or something like that, or November, or before the year's over with.
I think it's December, but yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do a show live from England, so that should be pretty cool. I'm loving these network specials. You know, I'm looking forward to the Madison Square Garden show. Get to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay. So, SummerSlam's been reviewed about 300 times. So, I guess we'll, kind of quickly go over the who beat who, and if you have anything to say, just interject. John Stewart and Mick Foley were opening the show. Stewart said he wanted Foley to be his backup because he's mad at Brock Lesnar for breaking the streak. Foley,
I wouldn't mind said, John Stewart being there every week.
Yeah. Foley said that he thought that Stewart wanted him to help him with The Rock because he told him he wanted help with Brock, and basically said being fearless, and said his match with Undertaker, the fearless match he had with Undertaker was 17 years ago, and he said that both of them should just leave. So it was kind of cute little skit to start off the show.
It was funny.
And then,
I liked it.
Yeah, it was cute. We then had Randy Orton facing Sheamus. Sheamus actually won clean, to my big surprise, when he hit two brogue kicks after he escaped the RKO. Good match, nothing spectacular, but nothing you couldn't see on Raw.
Yeah, good match, and while I wasn't really into Sheamus winning, because I'm really not into Sheamus, it actually reassured me that he wasn't leaving the show as a champion, so that kind of was plus, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
I didn't understand why Randy was losing, but then I guess it kind of foreshadowed that, so I guess in a way it's that, and Randy just marqueed him the next day, but yeah, it was okay.
Mm-hmm. It was a good match. Enjoyed it.
Okay.
You see, it's only time, there's not much more you can say about him, you know?
Right. Yeah, the primetime players versus the New Day versus Los Matadores versus the Lucha Dragons for the tag team title titles. They had the New Day actually capturing the tag titles after what happened here. What happened here? My goodness, I lost my place.
There was a lot going on, and
yeah, it was
New
really
Day's,
quick. And yeah, go ahead.
The New Day scene was awesome to start, and hopefully that gimmick continues because those three students are awesome. Titus was awesome, just throwing around a bunch of like everyone like dead bodies, basically.
Yeah.
And but yeah, New Day wins. Big E took an awesome.
It.
That tackle through the ropes, that looked crazy.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
I thought it looks bad. It just looks like, you know, like it fucking hurts. Somebody's going to die.
Okay, yeah. I found the finish here. I apologize. Kingston actually pinned one of the Matadors because Tyson and Titus.
Oh, they made
Titus.
A blind tag. There was a blind tag.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Titus was running wild and hit both the Matadors with his ridiculous power move, and Kingston basically pushed him out of the ring and pinned the Matadors, so he was picking up the scraps from Titus O'Neil.
There you go.
Okay. Undertaker walked past John Stewart with a ton of smoke following him. I then tweeted, same thing happens when at Ed in San Antonio walks through the room, to which one Evan Bourne favored it. So.
I was just going to mention that. I fought for
and,
that.
Yeah, thank you. Dolph Ziggler faced Rusev. I don't know about you guys, but I'm about done with this. This is... They need to move
I'm
on.
I'm just done with Dolph.
Yeah, kind of, huh?
Yeah. And then, you know, Dolph came out with a blonde kind of cocaine. And it was...
Yeah.
I mean, it had... Okay, I really love the fucking business outfit, like, look, like, that she has and Dave Keeper had. So the outfit she went to, while normally had you not seen her in the businesses all the time, you would think, God damn, she looks fucking hot. To me, it was actually kind of a downgrade because I just thought the other outfits were sexier. And
I mean, she looked so out of place, in, you know, with the baby face to me.
Yeah.
She's not as hot when she's smiling all the time. She's more. She has one of those faces where she's hotter when she's a bitch.
Just put them back together. Who cares? Have her turn on
exactly.
Dolph. Get some array.
Anyway.
Doing random stuff every 2 weeks on TV. I don't care.
And then I guess they thought they were just going to be in town for the night because the, both of them forgot to bring second gear because they wore the same shit at Raw.
That's true. Well, Dolph got all new gear, so you can't. You know, you got to bring it out. But anyway, this dumb thing ended up in a double countout.
Yeah.
The women started fighting. The men went to pull them apart. Everybody got counted out, and it was dumb.
I thought Dolph almost closed up and got in the ring too soon because I thought he had actually got in the ring. I thought it was a countout on Russo.
We then had Stephen Amell and Neville versus King Barrett and Stardust. This is the time in the show where Craig actually made his SummerSlam debut. Thank you, thank you. You can send any, you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I will send you back a autographed photo of myself and Stardust and Stephen Amell. Anyway,
such a mark.
Yeah, I am. I'm a mark for me. That's right. Stephen Amell looked pretty competent. He's a good athlete. He didn't look lost. Of course, Neville did a majority of the match and pinned Barrett with the red arrow. And it looks like they're going to a Barrett versus Stardust versus Neville for the next show.
I don't think you're going to see Barrett for a while, dude.
Yeah, he's doing a movie. That's why we did
something's
the whole thing.
Going on because a lot of people thought he quit or got fired on Tuesday.
Hmm.
But at first I was disappointed that he didn't wrestle in the Green Arrow hood or whatever. But then I kind of realized that it probably does look better. Everything he did looked good. The only thing that you can tell that he's not a pro wrestler is his selling. He didn't know how to sell, as far as you know the little things. But everything he did looked good. And he took a lot, you know, more than most celebrities do. So that was, and he was confident. I enjoyed it. It was, you know, I thought Neville and Stardust were really good. And it was cool. It was what it was. I mean, for what it was better than what you would think a celebrity would be doing in the match.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We then had. Ryback versus Big Show versus The Miz for the IC title. Here's another feud that really needs to stop.
This match had like 3 months build, I think. It needs a bell like that.
Yeah.
I mean, what nothing wrong with it. It is a typical three-way.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was decent. Like I say, I like Ryback. I like Miz. I like Big Show. But it's just like I say, it's been kind of going on and it's kind of pointless. And, It was okay. I mean, like I said, there was nothing wrong with it. I didn't think there was anything bad as far as any of the shows, really.
Anytime you see the Miz get beat up, it's a good time, so.
Yeah, Ryback retained the title. Show punched out Miz. Ryback closed show over the top and then pinned Miz. Nothing to it. Nothing spectacular. It was
The Sin Cara was pretty crazy.
The what?
Didn't Big Show do a senton or something?
Yeah, what the heck is up with this guy? He's old.
He
needs to stop doing
this. Now.
He's trying to injure himself. Go home.
Gotta get
that
money.
Don't he get no cook contract from that last angle 2 years ago? When they brought him.
Yeah, he really needs to... I guess he's trying to collect on that Lloyd's of London insurance policy that everybody
well,
got.
Well, if he don't know how to do it, he better call Bret Hart or somebody. He don't have to do
right.
It right. Road Warrior Animal. It took him 4 years.
Right. Oh, my goodness. All right. Then we had, I think, the best match on the show. We had Seth Rollins versus John Cena for the WWE title and the U.S. title.
You're wrong. It was John Cena versus the White Power Ranger.
Let me stop right there and go back one, because I did actually miss one. The next match on this show was Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, and they wrestled Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. I apologize. This match went about 1,000 miles an hour. It was bam, bam, bam. Lots of amazing big boots by Luke Harper. I still stand by this. This guy is tremendous. I love Luke Harper. He's awesome. Reigns got super kicked over the table, sold for a few minutes. Dean and Roman were both laid out at one point.
There was a point where I thought they were kind of doing the, because a lot of people were assuming there was going to be a turn in this match. And for a while, it kind of looked like they were, and maybe Couture will agree with me, that they were kind of replaying the Barry Windham Lex Luger turn when Ambrose was going for Roman Reigns wasn't there for him. You know what I mean? That's what I kind of thought.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Doing Barry Windham and Luger.
Like something was going on, you know?
Yeah. And then at the very end, when what's his name is on like kind of on the outside but on the ropes, and he's like doing the over cheerleader thing, you're like, it's coming, yeah. It's coming, but it never came.
Well, I thought that going into the show when he was on commentary the week before on Raw, it just seems like he was overly gushing about their friendship and how they hang out and drink beers all the time. But anyway. Finish saw Ambrose and Reigns hit the big double team powerbomb on Harper, then hit a dirty deeds on Wyatt, and then Reigns speared Wyatt for the pin. Fun match, like I said, fast paced, and I can't praise Luke Harper enough. I think this guy is absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay, now the White Power Ranger, Seth Rollins, versus John Cena, title for title, U.S. and heavyweight title. This match was so much fun. Seth Rollins played complete and utter babyface. He hit all his flashy, high-flying moves, did the Phoenix Splash at one point, big dive over the top. Every move that you could get a cheer or a pop from, Rollins used. He played total babyface.
And to add to the match, Twitter was on fire during this match. As far as like the White Ranger jokes and pictures and Photoshop.
I see.
And I posted one where there's a picture of Alondra Blaze dressed in a white outfit, and then there's a picture of Seth Rollins in his white outfit, and it says, "Who wore it better?" And then there was one where the person's like, "What's everyone talking about? He's not wearing a white outfit. He's wearing like a purple or blue outfit. Like, you remember that that dress that everyone saw different colors?" Yeah. And then they had a tint of, like, the color. But, yeah, it was, I actually got disappointed when he took the top off because I just thought it was, like, the coolest outfit when he had, like, when he first came out, when he still had the vest on. I just thought that looked so, I don't know, I just thought he looked so fucking awesome. And, yeah, the match is great. He's working, he did, like, one of the highest frog splashes I've ever seen because he did the frog part of it.
Ridiculous.
When he was at his apex. You know, usually Eddie and Hart would do it on the way down. He did it at the apex, so it really looked pretty high. And then when he did the John Cena rollover into the big lift, it's like, damn, dude, I guess he looks, I mean, he does look like he's strong and in shape, but apparently he's stronger than he looks. And, yeah, I thought the match was great. I highly enjoyed it.
The thing took it down a little bit for me because the match was so great going on. And then you had the celebrity run in. So it kind of took it down a few notches for me, but a great match.
Yeah.
Too.
The finish was Cena hoisted up Rollins for the AA, but, of course, the ref got in the way and got bumped and hit the attitude adjustment. No ref. Rollins was pinned for many seconds, but he finally got up, gave Cena a knee to the nose. Cena went down. Both men were down at this point, and then John Stewart hit the ring with a chair. He teased hitting Rollins, but instead hit Cena in the gut with a chair.
He
hit the chair on the ground.
What he was doing too.
Yeah. The chair was on the ground on the mat, and Rollins used a pedigree on the chair. And, of course, the ref woke up and counted the 3 count. Good match.
Yeah, and, you know, it got him a lot of pub as far as the John Stewart thing, because, you know, they shut that on different, you know, outlets, and they love that stuff, you know. So that was cool. I mean, it wasn't the perfect ending, but, I mean, I thought, like I say, it added some celebrity and news to it as far as mainstream, so... That was kind of good. But, yeah, I highly enjoyed it.
Did you set the show for an hour?
The next night when they
no, I
said the whole reason for the turn was totally stupid.
Okay, so we got another half hour, Ed. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, good. Okay, so with that out of the way, then we had a low point in the match. In the pay-per-view, I should say. Team Bella versus Team PCB. Stupid. And Team Bad. So we had nine.
I don't think it was that bad. The downfall was the next day, really.
No, that's true.
I mean,
there's too many people in these matches. I can't remember nothing that happened.
Yeah. It shouldn't have been, like as we said last week, it shouldn't have been all three of it. It should have just been like a three-way or something, but...
Yes.
Tamina was horrible, of course. Sasha, I guess, didn't do much because of the night before. So I think fans kind of got a little disappointed in that. But, I mean, I thought it was okay. I didn't think there was nothing wrong with it. I thought everyone did all right. And, it wasn't great. I mean, I've seen way better matches. It wasn't, but you know, I don't think it was bad. I just don't think it was great. And to me, it was just there, really, honestly. At this time, the next night, then that's when it got bad.
It's been kind of a slow build as of late to these women gone from being something that I really want to see to something that I'm putting up with. I know we talked about it on the Brian and Vinny show the other night, but everything is so forced with the women, and they're trying to make catchphrases, and they're trying to market them, and it's so forced that the fans are like, all right, quit forcing us to like your products, because when they were in NXT, they didn't force anybody, and it came on, as you would say, organically.
Mm-hmm.
And people
people loved the work that the girls were doing because their work was good, not because they were being told to like them. And on Monday, it was just the worst segment ever. With that.
Yeah, we'll go ahead. We'll go into that part of it instead of waiting. Basically, what happened was they're doing Raw, and I'm guessing they're trying to get these personalities over. So they had Team PCB do the Miss TV, basically.
Yeah.
So they come out, and Paige and Charlotte were horrible and were coming off as bitches, and they're supposed to be the baby faces. Becky was a little wacky, but it was also kind of stupid because they're like trying to tell you, oh, she's the crazy one of the group. If it was fucking Boys to Men or something, or one of them's the bad boy, one of them's crazy. So that was kind of stupid.
Right.
Then they have the Bellas come out and make the segment even longer after it's already dying, and then I like the Bellas, but yeah, her dialogue was horrible, saying that wins don't matter. That was so stupid. Because the title match on Saturday meant something. You know what I mean? Total opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't help. So then they're being all catty. Women being catty is just unlikable no matter who it is, even if you like the girl.
Yep.
So that doesn't help. I mean, the Miz,
right,
basically, when I raised my hand, your mouse, whatever he said, that and the crowd went crazy. I knew something was horribly going to go happen during the match. And basically it did. So they have the match, and, the crowd wants Sasha because she had done such a good job the night before, but
she's banged up.
Was banged up, so she didn't even come up. So, then that's another negative right off the bat. So then the crowd, that's when they decide to go into full sabotage the show. They started chanting Blue Pants. They started chanting CM Punk. They start doing the wave, and they try not to show the wave, but you actually saw two rotations of it. And then they go into the We Are Awesome. And then when they started doing that, then I'm shaking my head like, God damn it, it's cool, but now you're overdoing it and you're fucking it up. And then they start chanting for the announcers, and then just start chanting boring because the match is going long. And then finally, the Bellas team win. And you could see Paige just seething. And then, I was a big Paige fan. I loved her work, her look. I thought she was decent on the interviews. And then I started seeing her on Tough Enough and Tough Talk. And she just came off so unlikable. It's like, I can't fucking stand her now. And then she made the mistake of going on Twitter and, oh, you brought us up, but then you had to be so disrespectful, and then so-and-so, and she ended up deleting it, but still she came out, and now she's coming off as, a pissed-off bitch. And she's just, I'm not saying she's not a bad talent, but it's just like, personally, I don't like her no more. I just don't like her after the show. Same thing kind of with Charlotte. When she was doing the Miz segment, she was coming off, it was kind of hard to like her. And, the Bellas kind of went off too. And that doesn't help because that just has people read that. And then the smart marks who go to Raw the next week are going to, hey, they got under her skin. Now it's our turn. And now they're going to start and stuff. And what she said about them, it's being forced. When Stephanie McMahon came out that first Raw and introduced all three of them, I knew it was doomed. I knew it was doomed because they're pushing it. And the things that get over the most in wrestling aren't shit that they tell you. Stone Cold didn't get over because they told us he was over. He got over before.
Right.
Eddie Guerrero got over on his own way, way before WWE went with him. Same thing with Daniel Bryan. The fans, if they feel they're getting behind somebody that's like not being pushed down the throat, they'll really get behind that person. But when you're trying to overly push, that's what happened to The Rock at first. Same thing.
Yep.
They overpushed The Rock. People shit on The Rock. And then The Rock, he found himself, thankfully. It didn't end his career, but that could end like a lot of people's career. And just them being involved just brings it down. I knew that the matches were going to suffer because it's one thing when you're wrestling somebody you wrestle 100 times and you know the matches worked out and you know it, like the back of your hand, and then you're going to wrestle with somebody who you don't know, and who, because they're on the main roster, is probably going to think that they're better than you anyway, and then there's going to be tension there, and it's just not working. And I think that, like, I think I made a tweet saying from after the Miz TV is that part of the Revolution should not be televised, like opposite of that one thing. And yeah, I think they really screwed up on that night, and just the way they reacted to the fans after the match, to everything. I think the Revolution is not going to be, what do you call it when the Revolution actually gets defeated? You know what I mean?
The coup has been overthrown.
I'm tired of being told there's a revolution. My God, I'm tired of hearing that every fucking week.
Yeah, and
that's
another thing. You know, this was not the first women's soccer team to win the World Cup. You know what I mean? We all remember Brandi Chastain taking off her top. You know,
Serena Williams has been around for years. I mean, this is not new stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, Ronda Rousey's over, but they're not. There's none of them around Rousey. I mean, maybe if they had Tari come in and beat everybody.
That's because she's one person. She's fucking dominant. There's nobody like that in this group.
Yeah, every single person, except maybe Tamina, has pinned somebody, basically.
Well, not to mention, Ronda got over by winning, and we were told on Monday night that wins and losses don't matter.
Yeah, no, exactly. So
really,
you know,
the best person out of the whole bunch is Sasha's the best person out of the whole bunch, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm really a big fan of Becky. I think she's tremendous.
Her playing wings during the match. Those wings suck. I hate them.
Her playing babyface in peril. She is absolutely spectacular as the babyface getting beat down. She knows how to garner some sympathy out of fans. I think she's just tremendous. Sasha, I think she's the best overall.
She's the type that she doesn't need to be pushed. She'll get over on her own. Pushing her overly is going to screw it up. Because, you know, like if any of them can get over on work, it's probably her because she's the best worker out of it. Because she's been doing it so much longer than everybody else. And
another thing that I think takes the whole, you know, the new women that came in, takes the whole down notches, because the whole, you know, we've watched all these divas for years and these segments haven't been a fucking thing. So they kind of got this Davis stink on them immediately coming in when you group them together.
Right.
Well, just the fact that they're still divas and they're fighting for a diva championship. It's like, I forgot who brought up the point, but
diva is
a bitch. WWE is the only place where divas is like a positive thing, where everywhere else is like, you know, you don't want to be a diva. Diva's a bitch.
I mean,
so just off there, it's negative.
Yeah. I mean, you got to watch these commercials with Nikki Bella trying to fucking sing on this total diva. You know, it's just. And, girls, pray you don't get put on that show, please.
What I'm worried about is, okay, look how over Bailey was on Saturday, and then everyone's saying at the house show she's just the most over person now, and there's all these little girls going and dressing like her. And Vince McMahon, you know, he's pushed the Sables in the past and the Sunnies, and he wanted to push Lana, but then he tired on Lana, but now Eva Marie, because Eva Marie is Eva Marie is super hot, so he wants to push Eva Marie. He wants to have a Sable thing. Well, Vince, you need to get with the times, because hot girls are hot, but you know, we've seen so many of them. The next hot girl, in my opinion, can't be a diva. It can't be Sable. It's got to be different. I'm worried about when they do call it Bailey, how they're going to end up messing up the gimmick, because you got to let her be not a diva. She's got to be a little girl. You got to push her as the little girl, and then you'll get the little girls behind her, and they spend money. You know what I mean? Like The 18 to 34 male demographics is big demographic. The teenage girl demographic is also a major demographic because they spend money. Look at the goddamn Titanic. how much money that movie made, because the little girls kept going back to see it over and over again. And they could have the next big woman star that could bring in a new audience. And I'm worried that they're not going to take advantage of it, and they're going to screw it up, and they're going to give Bailey diva qualities, and they're just going to squash the whole thing where she could be the next breakout star because she's just so different than all the other girls.
I've always been more into the cute chicks than the hot chicks. That's just me.
Okay.
I've said a lot about this over the last few weeks. But anyway, going back to where we actually started this was, we had Tamina getting pinned, Brie pinned Tamina, and then the finish was Becky Lynch pinning Brie after a pump handle Uranagi. I don't know why they took away her disarmament, but they had Brie getting pinned there. So Team PCB, remember this all started with us doing a review of SummerSlam, but Team PCB winning the elimination match at SummerSlam.
Okay.
There you go.
We'll go with that. Yeah. Continue.
Okay. Next up we had Kevin Owens, a hurting Kevin Owens, I'm sure, versus Cesaro in the what is usually the death spot. And the crowd was polite, but you could tell they were ready for the main event. Very good match. Both hitting each other very hard. Owens won clean with a fisherman buster off the middle rope and a pop-up powerbomb. Good match.
I would have liked Cesaro to have won, but Kevin did need that match. He really did need the win, so I didn't mind that. Even though I wanted Cesaro to kind of get the win and start getting more of a bigger push, but it was a decent match. It did suffer from the death spot kind of a little bit. I mean, not that they shat on it or what people weren't into it, but I just didn't feel the crowd was into it as much as they should have. But it was a good match. I mean, Cesaro was awesome. Steen's awesome. I enjoyed it, but it just didn't come off as good as I think it should have been had it been placed sooner or later in the card.
This was where doing the four-hour show kind of was a bit much. Because after the Davis match, I was at the point I said, okay, it's time for the main event, right? And then Kevin Owens starts playing and said, fuck, there's another match. God damn.
Yeah, I had forgot about it, too. I was like, what the fuck? Oh, yeah, that's right. They are having this match.
And, of course, the main event was Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. Real good storytelling in the match. Of course, we kind of knew that going in. Wasn't a spectacular match or anything like that, but storytelling, it delivered. Very physical.
I
they punched each other.
I got into the suplexes because it's like when Brock, he did like, four or five, and each one of them was kind of scary because you're like, God damn, you don't know The Undertaker is going to survive them at his age or whatever. So I thought the match was, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. The only thing, and I don't hate a lot of people were like, the show was going decent, good show, and then the ending of this match happened, and then a lot of people, they get mad and they kind of turn on the match and stuff. At first, I didn't know what the fuck happened. At first, I thought Paul Lee was turning because I thought Paul Lee had him ring the bell before and then he's kind of like being a distraction. And I thought he was going to be the distraction and then Undertaker was going to basically do what he does, but that's not actually what happened. Because I didn't see
the
ring
and said, you beat him,
Yeah. I thought it was a total turn. I didn't see the tap out. I didn't see the tap out until they showed the replay. So at first, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was confused at first. But then when they show the replay and they show Undertaker tapping, it's like, okay, now this makes sense. This builds up to a third match at WrestleMania. So I had no problem with it. I thought it was actually a pretty smart finish. They kind of kept Brock strong. You know, he basically went to sleep without the shooting fingers. So he had like the act of defiance before he went out. So I enjoyed it. I thought it, after I knew what was going on, I enjoyed it. But like I say, for at first I was like, what the fuck is going on here? I don't know what the hell, this sucks. But then when you saw the whole picture, then I was, oh yeah, this is good. I don't know what everyone's bitching about.
Mm-hmm. There's a creative finish, first time ever seen a finish like that, you know?
Yes.
Often you see some, like a first time ever finish or anymore. Very good
finish. They
should
have just had the camera on the tap, though. They should have done a better job of, like, because I think a lot of people like myself were you guys, what did you think for what the hell was going on when that happened at first?
I was completely unclear as to why the bell was ringing. It made absolutely no sense. And the finish was, for those of you that didn't see it, it was Undertaker was caught in a submission hold and he tapped out, and the referee did not see it because he was on the other side of the tap out, but the timekeeper did. So he rang the bell. Of course, the referee's like, what are you doing? Why'd you ring the bell? And blah, blah, blah. And then as everybody was distracted, Undertaker, the dirty, nasty heel that he is, gave Brock a low blow, put him in Hell's Gate, and Brock was determined to not tap out, and he flipped off the Undertaker, and he slowly passed out, and the Undertaker won.
You know, we also just skipped over the best part of this whole match, and that is basically the Undertaker hits a big move on Brock, and Brock sits up and starts kind of laughing, and then the Undertaker sits up, and Brock looks at him, and he starts laughing, and then the Undertaker, in the most deliberate, wacky way, starts laughing back at Brock, and I lost my shit. I was like, what the fuck is going on? That was so, that, the look on Undertaker's face, it's just, that's one of those things that's going to stick in my memory forever. I'll forever see the Undertaker laughing like that. That added like a 2 full stars to the match right there.
Yeah, that got a huge pop in the room that I was in. That was good stuff.
You weren't expecting it at all.
No, why would you?
Yeah. What do you think? What do you guys think the best thing to do at Mania is? I mean, I'm with having Brock beat him again at Mania. I don't know.
Yeah,
especially
the way this one ended with Undertaker kind of cheat. I kind of would prefer Brock to win.
I just go ahead and do the. They could do like a retirement stipulation, career versus career. If Taker wanted to go and hang it up after, you know, next year, I think it would be a perfect time.
They could do the. They could do like the. Well, I don't want to say the "I love you" spot, but like more like the Undertaker Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, finishing me off. You could have Undertaker basically tell Brock, just finish me off, and then hit the big F5, and then that would be awesome.
And they can do the handshake at the end, and then Brock leaves, and you know, Taker himself at the end of the show. I think it's.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point in Undertaker beating Brock at WrestleMania. I mean, it's kind of silly.
Yeah, especially if it's his last match. I mean,
Why
hurt Brock? If it, you know that.
Actually, they were going to set up that Mania main event like on Monday. That they were going. That's what they were going to announce.
I think it's going to be a slow build.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, I mentioned last week, I'm hoping they do a thing where like Undertaker's like he wants to be done and he doesn't want to do no more, and then Brock wins the Royal Rumble by killing everybody and gets to be in the main event. But instead of challenging for a title, he says he wants Undertaker, and you kind of build it from there. I think that would add to the build, and I kind of hope they do something like that. Plus, I want to see Brock in the Royal Rumble for an hour, killing people.
Yeah.
Or I could see them doing, like, the Shawn and Taker thing where, you know, Shawn wants a rematch, but Taker won't give him one.
Mm.
You know, like they did a few years ago. You know, then Brock has to do something to That's why I suggested, like, you know, maybe give Undertaker a title match at the Royal Rumble or something. Brock interfered and cost him the belt and kind of forced the match at WrestleMania. So.
Interesting. It's not a bad idea. Yeah, so really enjoyed the match. Thought SummerSlam was really good. Not as good as NXT, but very good. The only follow-up they did to Brock and Taker on Monday night was the Heyman coming out and cutting a promo on the saying that he is the pissed-off advocate for the ripped-off beast. And for whatever reason, Bo must have been drinking some of that special Kool-Aid. And Bo Dallas came out and got suplexed to death and then a big F5. And these were amazing suplexes. These were suplexes where he got thrown and landed on the back of his neck and shoulders and did a
and bounced
in the air.
Yes, and bounced. So Bo was destroyed. And it looks like, believe it or not, they might be doing that match for the MSG special, which I'm totally fine with, by the way.
Yeah. It was awesome the way he kept leaving, but then he was like, fuck it, I'm going back and hit him again.
Yeah, and then the thing where Heyman is begging him, just one more, okay, yeah, good stuff,
yeah.
Good stuff.
Let me throw out the plugs out of the way real quick. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Contrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And for all of your wrestling needs, you can follow me on Twitter at Proper Jam, my last name, and the word jam at the end. And had some fun on there this week, live tweeting. But, yeah, there you go.
You can go to youtube.com/Contrere. Punch is talked about every week. I bring it up, so I don't need to bring it up no more.
So the last couple of things, I was going to say the last couple of things we could talk about are from Raw, if you want to go there, Ed.
Yeah, I was going to say we could talk about the two kind of surprises. And first one, it was awesome seeing the Dudley Boys come out, getting a big pop. And they're going to be working with the New Day, which will be cool. And hopefully they'll do something like this. They'll have New Day go to the Performance Center, and then they could see a young Blue Pants working out, and they could, like, do some stuff with Blue Pants, and then they can find out that Blue Pants was trained by the Dudleys, and then they could kill Blue Pants, making the Dudley Boys get it personal and really want to kill the New Day. And then it leads to a big spot where the Dudley Boys are being triple teamed in the big match. And then the music hits, and here comes Blue Pants for the distraction, and the Dudley Boys win. And then you could have her be like the valet to the Dudley Boys, because she actually does a great one of her last a few months ago. She was in a match, and she actually was a Dudley Boy, and she looked fucking awesome at it. So hopefully they'll do something like that, and then she can make her actual WWE pay-per-view debut, and it'd be awesome.
Okay, keep holding your breath.
I don't think you mean kill the women anymore in WWE.
Yeah, let's concentrate on the ones we have now before we start throwing more.
So player, play the trombone in her or something. I don't know. Maybe that'll work.
Here's an idea. The fire is out of control and burning everywhere. Let's add more logs to it.
Yeah, but this one's actually over, unlike all the other ones.
Whatever. Yeah, so Dudley Boys showed up. That was cool. I'm not going to lie. There was a pop in my living room, and it was from me. I thought it was awesome. And at the end of the night, they were going to present Seth with a bronze statue of himself, because he had accomplished not only winning the world title, or keeping the world title, but also winning the U.S. heavyweight title. And they were going to present him with a statue. And, of course, they unveiled the statue. And apparently Sting either melted down the statue or ate the statue. I'm not completely sure, but the statue was in the box when they put it there, but then there was a sting in the box, and he came out, and everybody fled. And
well,
another big pop for me.
The statue looked like it was made out of chocolate. Like,
yeah,
there's a Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Like in Vegas at the Hershey World, there's like a Statue of Liberty kind of looked like that. So what happened was they were probably wheeling it through catering, and they probably passed like the Big Show and Mark Henry and the right back.
I see.
And
they made a bunch
of s'mores and ate all the chocolate,
sure.
And then that's how Sting got in the box. I was expecting either Dick Slater or Abdullah the Butcher. But that would have been more exciting.
Or Terry Funk.
Pouring pantyhose on his head and
sure.
a chainsaw. But it was Sting, and he was in there so long that his paint started peeling already. But he looked good. His offense looked good, and I'm sure that Seth will get a good match out of him.
Yeah.
And it was cool. I know everyone's like, "Whoa, his only match, he's lost. Why is he getting title match?" It's fucking Sting. What the hell? Give him a match.
I wouldn't be against putting the title on him for like just a month.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. Why not?
And if you really want to push that network, you could have him put the title on him and have him like defend it at that Madison Square Garden show.
Right.
I know I'd buy that network. You could see that.
Yeah.
You know. He's never worked there before, so that's probably one of the things he'd like to do. So that's to go for it.
They got to give him the title. It's, I mean, everything he's done.
Win, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first match.
I don't know. It's hard to say. He might be on the same kind of thing that The Undertaker's on, where he's kind of, this is his last run. But, why not? Why not let him add that to his accomplishments?
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah.
Mm. And then lastly, they also had another debut. They had the Black Sheep of the Wyatt family debut. And
Louis Braun from Seinfeld.
Do you guys watch Game of Thrones?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, there's this fat, wimpy character, and it looks like that guy grew a beard and got on steroids.
Braun Strowman.
Or he looks like a young Eugene who took like every steroid in the world and blew up. But they have this big giant dude come out, and you can tell he works out more on his arms, chest, and back and shoulders than he does his legs. And hey, we're getting a call, and it's either Rey Mysterio or it's some jackass. So I'm gonna go ahead and take this call. Caller calling from area code 619. Who's this?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hello.
Yeah,
what's going on, everybody?
I knew it was you.
It's not a jackass. It's Alex.
Yeah, it's Alex.
Yeah.
Not a jackass at all.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm
traveling to a jiu-jitsu tournament, so I decided I'm stopping to get something to eat. And I saw Ed was being carried on another show, so I decided to call in and say hello.
How did you do, Alex?
Oh, no, I haven't competed yet. It's tomorrow morning. It's tomorrow afternoon,
okay.
So I'm traveling now.
Don't bite your tongue. Wear a mouth guard, dummy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I'll try not to bite my tongue this time. So what's the topic? What can I go off on real quick?
We're talking about NXT and SummerSlam and then the crowd going crazy on Raw. So
here's something I want to talk about real quick is that if this was on traditional pay-per-view, what do you think the buy rate would have been?
Ooh.
I think it would have been good. There was a lot of promotion for it. I honestly don't remember what the good numbers were back before the network, but I think it would be above average, and I think it would have done a decent – I'm not saying it would have blown set the world on fire, but I think it would have done a little more than the average that what they've been doing.
So that's what I find interesting is that I'm not quite sure what the number would have been, but I think – I had talked to Ben Miller about this on my show when the network was coming out, and I was like, I think the audience is going to kind of it's going to become more of a niche thing because now you have to pay $10 a month to access it. But what I notice is that like the WWE is becoming a niche product. I think definitely. I don't want to say too much about Monday's rating, but I think that's kind of a sign of that, in my opinion. But we'll see moving forward if it continues to be. But the people who are watching the network are watching more WWE stuff, ergo they're more passionate about it, so there's a lot more conversation about it. And that's what I think is interesting about the network. So the network can put on a show, you know, like SummerSlam and NXT, which were incredible, and people are talking about it. All my friends are talking about it. But I think that the number of people watching it isn't as many as what, you know, definitely not in the Monday Night War era, but the people who are watching it are certainly liking it, and they're putting out really good product, which is surprising as well, because I think when they first went to the network, I certainly thought they would phone it in a lot, and they've been delivering with the shows, so.
Even if they're not clicking with the outside, the casual crowd, if they have the hardcore crowd into it, they're going to make more money and more improvement because they're the ones that are going to actually spend the money and go out of their way anyway. You know, the casual fans might watch on Raw, but the hardcore is that they're excited. They're more in tune to, you know, spend money in that way.
I really think that the bad rating on Monday was just a case of burnout. You had an NXT show on Saturday. You had another 3-hour show. Four-hour show on Sunday. And I think people at that point were just like, you know what? I've seen enough wrestling in the last couple of days. I think I'm going to sit this one out.
You know, but I think that Craig, I don't know if you're wrong. I think that's definitely one strong way to look at it. But my thing is that usually the bump comes from the casual fan who didn't invest in the weekend, right? So a lot of the people who just wanted to know what happened, and that's where you get the big bumps from. Where were those people? That's kind of my question, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. You know, as hot as WWE is right now, it's still not mid-90s hot.
No, it's not. Definitely it's not. And that's something interesting, too, because, like I said, because social media, a lot of my friends are talking about it, right? We're watching the same stuff. Craig was all over the promotion for one of the SummerSlam main events, which was the guy from Arrow against his tag team partner Neville against Stardust and Wade Barrett. But Craig was all over the promotion, and only 2 million people saw Craig's face, you know, and that's interesting. Well, hey, guys, thanks for letting me on. I'm going to eat and continue my travels, and I will post on my Twitter and Facebook, AlexScoff84, the results. So if I lose, Ed's going to laugh at me, so don't think I don't feel that pressure. Or if I bite my tongue again, Ed's going to laugh. So
that's true. You want to actually win a medal and not be given a participation medal this time, Alex? So that's your goal.
Hey,
win that medal.
Hopefully you don't have a heart attack at Shimmer, okay? Don't have a heart attack at Shimmer.
Yeah. And when you go for the choke, don't do what you did to me because I blocked that so easily. You need to work on your choke and getting that on, and then maybe you'll be all right.
Have a good night, guys.
Safe travels.
I don't know what the hell anybody's talking about on this show.
There goes Alex.
When we went to Vegas, Couture, they had a jiu-jitsu tournament that Alex was in. And he didn't wear a mouth guard, which I guess in jiu-jitsu, you know, you're not being hit or anything, so I guess some people think they don't need to. It looked like someone grabbed his tongue, grabbed a pencil, and stuck the pencil through his tongue.
Yeah, it was bad. It looked horrible. And I just
when you're wearing the mouth guard these days, stuff happens. Just ask Alex Shelley.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had his teeth all broken and the mouth guard on when he was wrestling here recently. So.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the weekend, he was, I don't want to say he had like a list, but he sounded a little different. But, yeah. And then he got this fucking big, giant, like 6-inch, 6x6-inch silver medal that he, like I say, it was more participation because it was just, in his division, it was just him and another guy, and the other guy beat him. So he won the gold and now he's got the silver for, so hopefully he won't lose today.
They do some Mick Foley stuff, like try to stick his finger through the hole or something.
He could have.
Yeah. He's the one, the famous line where he's trying to put his tongue through his bottom lip, Foley, that is. Yeah, that's good times.
Did you guys, real quick, did you guys see the Hayabusa video?
Yeah, I actually just stumbled upon it again. That
the what video?
It's pretty tremendous.
The Hayabusa video of him walking.
Wait, what again?
Hayabusa.
The Hayabusa video of him getting out of his wheelchair and walking.
Oh, the Hayabusa. Okay, I didn't understand the first part you were saying. No, I saw that they had it, but I hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Cool.
Yeah, but he was one of my favorites. You know, I'd get those Japan tapes. Like, wow, this Hayabusa is amazing. And then you find out he lands on his head and can't walk anymore. It's like, ooh, that's no good.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yep. Well, hey, that's a good way to end.
Yeah, I'm such a downer. So
it was a happy note I ended on.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
A happy note is that, yes, I now have airfare and hotel to go along with my front row tickets to Shimmer in October.
Oh, my God.
I'll just get to hang out with our good buddy, Dave Prezak, who,
yes, sir.
You know, I'm not going to put my arm around him like Craig likes to, but, you know, I'll get to hang out with Dave. But,
you won't
yes,
let
I'm
you
very excited. I get to see Blue Pants in person while I'm wearing my Blue Pants shirt.
Real quick, wanted to throw out congratulations to Brian and Whitney. So,
yeah, and I'm a little kid. That's going to be the most spoiled child you've ever met in your life. Trust me.
Having a daughter, right? Is that what I risk?
You know what's funny is, well, apparently, because I asked on the question on the show last night, but I had asked if when did they know, like, did they know in Vegas? Because, yeah. Believe it or not, Ronnie Rogers knew she was pregnant. He was so convinced, and we had, like, this long conversation. He's like, I know she's pregnant. Know it. This and that. And it was weird. Like, he used his New Orleans voodoo powers to somehow tell that Whitney was with child. I think the child will be okay as long as Whitney is taking care of the child and Brian sticks to the cat.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you're having a girl with a lot more responsibility. You know, if you have a boy, you only got one penis to worry about. If you have a girl, you got a lot of penises to worry about. So, there you go.
I'll say this, you know, when I found out my wife was pregnant with Cameron, I told her, I said, if it's a girl, I'm running away. I'm going to pack a little bag and I'm going to tie it around a stick, and I'm gonna sling the stick with the bag over my shoulder, and I'm going to run away.
Because you run away when you turn 15.
I will go out. I will just run away because I went through raising a teenage daughter, and I never, ever, ever want to do that again.
You know, that kind of makes me think of Lance, because, you know, Lance has two daughters.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
and the older daughter, the oldest. His oldest daughter was more of like the quiet kind of to herself. And when she became of drinking age, Lance was like on Twitter like, oh, my God, I can't believe my daughter's of drinking age. And he's kind of tripping out. And like I say, that was the more calm, non-sociable one. His younger daughter, who's still got, you know, a ways to go, he's always said that she's more of the social butterfly. So if he's freaking out with the other one, getting of age and all that, wait till the younger one gets of age when she's, you know, more talkative to boys and this and that. I think Lance is going to lose his, and he'll be older too. So I think Lance is going to be losing his shit when she hits that age. You know what I mean? Like I say, you had to go through with your other daughter. So yeah, that's actually going to be kind of funny.
Yep.
Well, thank God I didn't have to run away. So
it's probably even harder nowadays with your phones and your Twitter and God knows what else. Do kids take their phones to school these days? I don't know. I'm just wondering. The kids are like kids at school with their phones and shit. You know, in high school.
I don't get it. I'm just being honest. My son goes to a private school, and it's just because we want my son to have the best education, and they're not crazy there.
You don't want to get shot.
Yeah, they get to play, you know, cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians and stuff like that, like real kids. You know, they don't have to worry about being PC, and they can, you know, they talk about guns, and you don't get, you don't get suspended for extending one finger and then making a pistol with your hand. You know, so they're more sane, I guess you could say. But
thing when I was like in school, they didn't have all these phones and Twitters and internet and shit. That'd be nothing but trouble.
You had maybe one or two people who had a pager, and then, of course, they were the fucking drug dealers and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. People going around with papers and shit.
Pager, that sounds so weird. Like, pager is, like, so laughable, but that's, you know,
pager.
Everyone used to have that before.
They didn't have all this stuff when I was younger in school. Man, this is so much trouble I'd have been got into.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Been on Twitter calling a teacher a bitch and shit, and then they get around or some stupid shit like that.
Yeah, thank God they didn't have the Facebooks and the social media and the ability to take and or receive pictures. Thank God they didn't have that when I was young. There was a lot of incriminating evidence on Polaroid as it was. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we could all agree to that. So on that note, we'll go ahead and end the show. So everybody, come back next week, and we will talk to you all then.
Is this supposed to be a stag grenade?
I don't know what's happening right now.
Blue Pants has returned, and Luke's third appearance.